You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Caddy. Let's show some love for Michigan elk. They disappeared from our state around 1875, but these days there is a flourishing herd of wild elk you can find near Gaylord, and anyone can go see them. Drew Youngdyke wrote about Michigan's elk herd for Michigan Out of Doors magazine. Drew, welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Why did Michigan elk vanish there in the 1870s?
Well, back in the 1870s, we had unregulated hunting. So it was before we actually had structured seasons, quotas. We didn't have conservation officers or game wardens or a DNR to enforce how many you could take. So we had a lot of habitat loss, habitat degradation. At the same time, you had market hunting. And for a lot of wildlife species, it really put them on the brink of at least local extirpation. So the last Michigan elk was taken around 1877 near Saginaw. And for a period of a few decades, we didn't have any elk in Michigan at that point.
And what did it take to bring them back?
Well, they actually tried it back in 1916. There was just a handful of elk that were released, and they were released in different parts of the state. It was a small herd from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They didn't make it, actually. They didn't make it, but there was just a few of them. 2 years later, a herd of seven elk that had been kind of culled from different city parks from around the country where they might have a public elk herd were released 3 miles south of Wolverine. So that's up I-75 north of Gaylord. And from there, they spread out and became the current herd that we have.
And I understand that reestablished herd kind of took a hit in the 1960s.
Right. So it was up to about 300 or 400 by the 40s. It was up to close to 1,000 by the early 60s. So there were some complaints from local farmers about crop damage, that kind of thing. So the DNR held a hunt, a licensed hunt, in 1964 and 1965. I think it was close to 400 or 450 that were elk that were taken through that, and that was deliberate. It got their numbers down. That was a trial run, but after that, their numbers kept diminishing, and what they found was there was increased habitat loss and fragmentation. There was more motorized access to those areas of the forest than there had been before. That creates disruption, and there was a lot of poaching going on. So in 1975, they actually released an elk management plan, started deliberately managing them, cracking down on poaching. You had everything going on in the Pigeon River country with the oil and gas development. So you had a plan for the forests. The Natural Resources Trust Fund came out of that. And you had some controls on the types of motorized activities. Habitat loss and fragmentation started to recede. You had increased law enforcement through DNR conservation officers. And actually, by the time we got to about 1984, we could have a regular quota hunt again. And the current hunting system that we have has been ongoing since 1984, but it's really tightly managed. And it's important to note that the elk herd in Michigan isn't managed to have that hunt. That hunt is just used to control the numbers of elk, so we keep them in the areas where they're not going to get out and damage crops and create those same type of situations we have decades ago.
So where do we stand right now as we talk in 2017 as far as the size of the herd, the wild herd, and where they live?
Sure. So the elk management plan, last approved in 2010, puts a target of we want to have about 500 to 900. And that makes sure that they stay in those public forest land areas and don't kind of get outside those and cause trouble. We actually have a little over 1,200 at last count. So the last couple aerial surveys that the DNR has done have estimated a little over 1,200. Actually, last year they increased the hunting quota from 100 to 200 licenses to try to get it back down under 900. And every couple of years they revisit that. So we're probably up around 1,200 or more, but it's a healthy herd, a lot of great habitat, and a lot of credit goes to the DNR biologists that kind of keep an eye on them.
You were mentioning your favorite animal. Everybody in your family knows how
right.
much you love the elk. Why?
You know, I've seen them a lot when I've been hunting and backpacking and hiking and fishing in that forest. I'd spent a lot of time in the Pigeon River Country Forest. I'm actually on the Pigeon River Country Advisory Council for the state. And they're such a magnificent animal when you see them in person in the wild. In Michigan, you know, that's really the area where they are. It's all public land, so anybody can go on there. Anybody can enjoy them, try to keep your distance, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's elk viewing areas where if you're not familiar with the forest, you can drive up and see them. But where I've seen them is when I've been hiking through the forest or I've been hunting, and I come around a tree, and there might be a bull elk that's a 6x6, 20 yards away. And when you're used to seeing deer who are maybe, you know, 100 to 150 pounds, and you see an 800-pound bull elk standing there, it just takes your breath away. Your heart beats out of your chest. You know, this year when I was hunting, I saw one within about 50 yards, and I just watched them for a long time. I forgot about hunting for the afternoon and just watched them.
Some might wonder, well, if the elk was nearly wiped out in Michigan once and came close to it again in the 1960s, why can people hunt them?
because of the way that we do wildlife management in Michigan and really across the country, we know approximately how many there are. We know how many there are that need to be in balance with the available habitat that they have. And we make sure that we have a very limited quota. So we know that we can take out 200 a year, and that's going to keep us within that range that keeps them balanced with their habitat. And actually, a couple years ago, hunters and anglers, we had our licenses, license fees increased, and our organization actually advocated for that increase because it meant that we put more conservation officers on the ground enforcing the penalties. Our organization pressured the legislature a couple years ago to increase the poaching fine for elk. So if you poach an elk, it's going to cost you over $10,000. We have more COs in the field enforcing that. We have very diligent DNR biologists estimating, you know, every couple years, okay, I think this year we can take 100, maybe this year we can take 200 and keep us within that range that we need. When you have that system going on that's all funded by the hunting licenses that we purchase as hunters, then you have a balanced system. You have a healthy herd. You have healthy wildlife habitat. You have landowners that still respect the animal because they're not trampling their crops. Mm-hmm. And you have the opportunity for anybody, whether they hunt or not, to go out there and enjoy them. So that's kind of the system that we have right now. It's in good balance right now, and kind of what we try to do is try to keep it in good balance.
The piece that you wrote about elk for Michigan Outdoors Magazine, you called elk one of Michigan's best-kept secrets. How can people find out more? You mentioned, for example, public viewing areas. Where should they go to find out more?
So you can actually go up to the headquarters in the Pigeon River country. You can find the address there on the DNR website. It's michigan.gov/DNR. On the headquarters, there's different maps of the area. There's a couple areas that are designated wildlife viewing areas. Actually, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the Pigeon River Country Advisory Council teamed up to put up some kiosks at a couple of those areas where you might pull off and park to describe elk history. And that's kind of the entryway into seeing them if you're not somebody who tramps around the backwoods and sees them that way. So, you know, in the right time of year up in the Pigeon River country, you almost can't help but to see them. And if you stay...
What's the right time of year?
Well, one of the best times of the year is September. They come into rut, the breeding season in September and October. When it gets to be October, though, you got to be a little bit careful because that's when you have all the bow hunters out, you have more hunters out. So they're going to move them a little bit more. What that's also going to do is the elk are going to be a little bit tougher to see because there's hunting pressure, not on them, but just hunting pressure in general in the forest. So, you know, early September, I think, is a really great time to see them.
One of our stateside team, Mike Blank, remembers a camping trip. And he said in the middle of the night, he said there was the most incredibly strange noise that scared him to death. And he later learned it was an elk. And that's this bugling you were talking about?
Absolutely. It's
what's the sound like?
Well, don't ask me to mimic it.
No.
You know, when I yawn, my wife says that I sound like a bugling elk when I yawn. But it's high-pitched and deep at the same time. It really reverberates throughout the woods. You feel it in your chest when you hear it, especially when they're close. You know, a similar story to that is a couple years ago, my uncle came out with us at deer camp. And my uncle has cerebral palsy. He doesn't hunt himself, but we set up a little pop-up blind close to where we set up our wall tent camp just so we could see wildlife. And we were really hoping that he'd be able to see an elk because he's over from Central Lake, a little bit further west outside of the elk range. And when he was walking back to camp, his story was, and I don't know exactly how close they came, but he said, they almost ran me over, you know, from a few cows and a couple little spike bulls. So to me, that experience is what elk in Michigan are all about. You have somebody from a different part of the state who might not even know that we have it. They come up to this beautiful public land state forest that we have. When they see elk, when they experience them, hopefully they appreciate the animal, but they appreciate what that public land provides for them too. And that becomes important when, you know, certain politicians might try to sell it. Hopefully that's an advocate now that we have that will write their legislator and say, no, we want to keep this public. And that's why I really appreciate elk as well.
Drew Youngdyke is the editor of Michigan Out of Doors. Thanks so much for sharing your passion for Michigan elk with us.
Thank you very much.